Now let's turn in our Bibles to Psalm 103 for our scripture reading today, the 103rd Psalm. I'll read the first and the odd-numbered verses, and Pastor Brian will lead you in the reading of the even-numbered verses as we stand to read the Word of God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits.
Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases.
Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies.
Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles.
The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed.
And he made known his ways unto Moses, and his acts unto the children of Israel.
The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy.
He will not always chide, and neither will he keep his anger forever.
He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities.
For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him.
As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us.
Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him.
For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust.
As for man, his days are as grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourisheth.
For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more.
But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children.
To such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them.
The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all.
Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word.
Bless ye the Lord, all ye his host, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure.
Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Let's pray. Father, that's really why we're here today, just to bless the Lord and to declare, Lord, your goodness and your blessings upon us, for which we are so grateful. And now, Lord, we ask that you would just open our heart. And as Pastor Brian just unfolds to us the scripture, let our hearts be open and receptive, and may we, Lord, be blessed, we pray, as we study your word, and we give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning. Well, our text this morning is going to be taken from the psalm that we just read, so Psalm 103, if you want to open your Bible to that great psalm again. The title of our message, as was mentioned, Count Your Blessings. Just as Mount Everest is the highest peak in the Himalayas, this 103rd psalm rises above the rest. Charles Spurgeon said, "There is more in this psalm than 1,000 pens could write on. It is one of those all-comprehending scriptures which is a Bible in itself." And that truly is the case. I just love this 103rd psalm. It's probably, out of the 150 psalms, it's probably my favorite. So it's a delight to be able to preach from it this morning. This psalm is a call to worship. It is an exhortation to the soul to bless the Lord for who he is and all that he has done. It is a reminder to each of us to count count our blessings and to give glory, honor, and praise to the one from whom they have come. There does seem to be in us this tendency to be forgetful of the good things in life, a tendency sometimes to focus on the negative instead of the positive, a tendency even for those of us who are believers to sometimes grow a bit dull in our hearts when it comes to just praising the Lord for his goodness. David, amazingly, I say amazingly because he was so adept at praise, but it seems that he might have even struggled with that at times himself, because what he's doing here in the first part of the psalm is really, you know, speaking to himself. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Don't forget all of those benefits. So perhaps there were times when David was looking at his life and he was looking at things and he was sort of looking at the negative side of things and forgetting all that God had done. And he had to sort of shake himself up and say, wait a second. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Everything in me ought to be blessing his name for all that he's done. And so that's what we want to consider today. We want to consider the blessings that God's given to us. We want to reflect for just a moment on the God who's given us those blessings. And then finally, we want to look at the proper response to this God and these blessings. And so he begins listing those benefits here in the third verse. Right at the top of the list, who forgives all of our iniquities. The blessing of forgiveness. This is a blessing that cannot be underestimated, because the burden that people bear because of their sin, the burden of guilt and shame, the fear of punishment, these are the kinds of things that can crush a person. You know, there are many people today who live in misery. They live in mental anguish and torment because of guilt, because of things that they've done, or because of shame, things that they've done that have been shameful, or things that perhaps might have been done to them that have caused them shame. And it's the forgiveness of sin that removes that guilt and that shame. It's the forgiveness of sins that frees a person from that kind of bondage to misery and torment that so often goes on in the hearts and the minds of people. Forgiveness cannot be underestimated. It is one of the great, great blessings. And of course, it's the thing that opens the door for us to come back into relationship with God as well. So it's an amazing benefit, the benefit of forgiveness. I was talking to a young girl recently, and she has made a fair amount of mistakes in her life at her young age. And on the one hand, she knows she's been forgiven. She's asked the Lord to forgive her. And, in one sense, she knows that that's happened. But yet, sometimes we can, even though, you know, theoretically we know we're forgiven, practically we doubt it, or we think, but maybe, you know, because I did certain things, that will mean this for the future. Hard to kind of envision that there could be such a forgiveness that would result in even blessing down the road. And so as I was having this conversation, we were talking a bit, and I was just encouraging her, and she said, you know, the funny thing, though, is the other day I had this little phrase in my mind, the east from the west. And she said, I felt like the Lord was just speaking that to me, the east from the west. She said, but I couldn't remember exactly where it was or, you know, what the context was. And then she said, and later that day, I picked up my Bible and I began to read. And this was the amazing thing. She said, I didn't read where I was intending to read or where, you know, I would normally pick up in my reading. For some reason, I opened up to this psalm. And at the point she was telling me, she didn't even remember which one it was. And she said, and I read this. I read that as far as the east is from the west, so far he's removed our transgressions from us. And I said, that's Psalm 103. And she just had this sparkle in her eye, and this joy just came, to her countenance as she embraced that wonderful truth. So David tells us here in the third verse about the forgiveness. He's forgiven all of our iniquities. But in verses 10 through 12, he sort of elaborates on it a bit. Notice he says, he has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Isn't that wonderful to know? Because it's true, isn't it? We can think, well, you know I'm forgiven and I'm thankful for that, but I probably have a ton of consequences or, you know, I've got a lot to reap. Not necessarily. Certainly there are times when that is the case, but not necessarily, because he hasn't dealt with us after our sins. He hasn't rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. You see, God doesn't have just a little bit of mercy. He has an overflow of mercy. Mercy and grace are those two things that work together. Mercy provides the pardon. Grace supplies the blessing. So God pardons us through his mercy, but then he, through his grace, he pours out his blessing upon us. And then that great 12th verse there, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Oh, I love that picture. As far as the east is from the west, God has just separated our transgressions from us. Another way he puts it through the prophet Micah is that he has taken our sins and he has buried them in the depths of the sea. Wonderful picture. Forgiveness. God has given it to us abundantly. David says, bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all of his benefits. Don't forget that God's forgiven your sins. Don't forget that he's taken away that guilt, that shame. He's averted that punishment. You don't have to live under that burden any longer. Don't forget that. Remember that. Embrace that. Be blessed by that. He goes on and he says, secondly, who heals all of your diseases. The blessing of healing. And that healing, I think here is probably referring to a spiritual healing, probably emotional healing, relational healing. But I think it would obviously have to include to some degree as well, bodily healing. The Lord heals us of our diseases. Now, we quite often say, or we talk about the amazing ability of the body to heal itself. But you know, that ability exists because God designed it to be that way. So even when we seem to naturally recover from some sort of an illness, we can praise the Lord for that because he created the body to naturally recover. Well, you think of the time when this psalm was written. They didn't have the advances in medical knowledge that we have today. They didn't have access to the medications and, you know, the antibiotics, all of these different things. Those things didn't exist at this time. And, of course, because of that, many people would die of things that we wouldn't even be worried about today. We just go down and get some antibiotics and we're fine. But that wasn't the case back at that time. So as people would heal up from different afflictions and diseases, there was that consciousness that God was involved in this. We should still have that consciousness today because the Lord designed the body that way. But even with physicians, you know, we depend a lot on physicians today, but that doesn't exclude us from considering healing a blessing, because the fact of the matter is God has put it into the minds of men to understand things that have enabled them to heal us in more effective ways today. So we can thank God for the work of the physicians. God is at work through them, and he's given to the researchers and so forth, he's given them insight and understanding. All of this is part of God's mercy. It's all part of his grace. I had mentioned recently, I read a book over the past week written by a doctor, a neurosurgeon. And an amazing book. It's primarily about his journey into a prayer ministry in his practice. But in the process of telling the story, he goes into a number of cases that he's dealt with, and he explains the surgery procedures and all of that. And, you know, as I'm reading this, I'm just marveling at technology. I'm marveling at what we can do today, getting inside of the human brain. And, you know, with all of these microscopic connections and things, able to work it out, the aneurysm or the tumor or whatever the case might be. But he makes it clear that in his practice, and just in a general sense within the medical realm, that there are certain things that are obviously just completely beyond the doctors. And even in areas where they are experts, they still so often are falling short, and quite often, even though most of them won't admit it, quite often there is a supernatural element that goes into the procedure or the restoration of the person. Because the doctor couldn't explain why it happened that way. It just did. A friend who recently had brain surgery for a malignant tumor, a young guy, 31 years old, a pastor, Brent, he sent me an email. I read it Wednesday night. He just had the surgery. They went in for the post-op session with the doctors, and the doctors were saying, you know, there were just some really unusual things happened in the course of this procedure. They told him then, we almost lost you on the operating table, something that he didn't know previously. But then they were saying that there was something unusual, something sort of almost, they didn't even want to use the word miraculous, but finally, his wife said, are you trying to say that maybe like God was here helping you out? And they said something like that. Yes. There was something supernatural that went on. So, you know, God's involved in that part as well. And then, of course, there would be the miraculous aspect of healing. And we know that as much as there have been wonderful strides and advancements in medical technology and understanding and so forth, there's still plenty of things that we can't deal with, right? But we see firsthand God touch people still to this day and heal them miraculously without the intervention of medicine. Or when men through their abilities have exhausted all of their resources, God steps in and does something that can only be explained as miraculous. The blessing of healing. This is a blessing that David says we are to be mindful of and thankful of. We're not to forget that. But then he speaks of the blessing of redemption from destruction, who redeems your life from destruction. God frees us from those sinful habits that destroy life. You know, it seems almost like humanity has a self-destruct, a built-in self-destruct mechanism, you know? I mean, it's amazing the things that we do to ourselves. There's nothing worse that I hate than a self-inflicted problem. You know, when I do something stupid and it results in a big problem for me, I hate that. You know, why did I do that? Or, you know, self-inflicted. So much of the trouble that we experience in our lives is self-inflicted. We just have this self-destruct mechanism there. And the wonderful thing about salvation, the gospel, God redeems us from that destruction. He redeems us from that self-destruct tendency that is there in us. Smoking, drinking, drugs, violent tempers, things like this. I mean, these are all destructive behaviors. These are all things that potentially can destroy our lives. But we do it. And, you know, so often without thinking. Smoking is the thing. I just think nowadays, you know, what are you thinking? Or obviously you're not thinking about this. Or you're thinking, you know, it'll never happen to me. I was talking to somebody after first service who happens to work at one of the local colleges. And he was saying that he and his colleagues, they're, you know, all the professors, everybody, they're looking at all of the young students who are smokers. And, you know, the faculty, most of them don't smoke. And they're saying, what is the matter with these kids? And I said, well, of course, that's exactly the way we were back then, right? Nobody could tell us anything. And they're not smart enough to know that what it says on that package is actually true. This will kill you. Hey, God, it's not going to kill me. It'll kill somebody else. It won't kill me. No, it will kill you. Or drinking. You know, not only does drinking affect your body physically, but we know the toll that it takes on human relationships. We also know the tragedy of drunk driving and the many lives that have been destroyed through that. These are the kinds of destructive things that we're delivered from. He delivers us from destruction. The destruction of drugs. Some time back, I read the book by the guitar player from the band Korn. I've shared a few things from that before. But he was for many years addicted to crystal meth. And the title of the book is very significant. Save Me From Myself. We need to be saved from ourselves. And that's what this wonderful salvation does. That's what this redemption does. We're saved from these destructive behaviors. And then he says that he's crowned us with loving kindness and tender mercies. He satisfies you with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. These are the things that David is reflecting upon and saying, these are the benefits that have come to us through the mercy of God. Let's not forget them. Let's arouse our souls to praise and to thank the Lord for these things, because God has set his affection permanently on us. He showed us his goodness and he showered us with his mercy. The good things here. Now, our text reads that he fills our mouth with good things, but most of the commentators agree that the word mouth is probably the wrong translation of the Hebrew word. A better translation is desire, so they've then rendered it, who satisfies you with good things and renews your youth like the eagle. Do we stop to think about all the good things that we enjoy in life and remember that they're the blessing of God? You know, one of the reasons why I think that the country that we live in will ultimately come under a strong judgment is because of the amazing abundance and blessing and the lack of appreciation and thankfulness. You know, it's really hard for me when I hear people complaining about this or that or the other thing, you know, this isn't fair and I don't like this and, you know, my wage isn't right for my skills. You know, all of that kind of stuff that we hear all the time. I think, you know, that's just downright unthankfulness. It's just ingratitude. God has blessed us beyond comprehension. We are, I think, arguably the most blessed people in the history of the human race, in the sense of material blessings. But isn't it true that we so often take these things for granted? It's just the way it is. It's the way it's always been, so we just expect it to be this way. The best thing you can do is just travel outside of this country a little bit. Go south, see the lifestyle there, go into different parts of the world, what they call the third world, and you'll realize that we are amazingly blessed. And we have so many good things that God has supplied us with. And I find myself sometimes, because I do at times myself have a tendency to sort of, you know, focus on the negative. And when I'm doing that, I'll suddenly catch myself and say, wait a second. I have got so many things to be thankful for, and I will force myself to just go through a mental list of things that I take for granted, but, you know, really are signs of God's favor and blessing upon my life. I thank God that I have clothing that's nice and it's appropriate. It's warm when I need to be warm. It's cool when the weather gets hot. I thank God that I have amazing options when it comes to what I'm going to eat every day. You know, we take this stuff for granted, but not everybody has this. As a matter of fact, most people don't. But we just sort of take it for granted. Oh, I hate that. No, that's tough. We don't have any good restaurants around here. Man, this place is the pits, you know. Well, there's a few other places that you could truly say that about, but this is not one of them, you know. But you know what I'm saying? We just get used to this, and then we take it all for granted, don't we? We take the weather for granted. And so many of these things. But what we need to remember is that all of these things come to us from God. They come to us from God. He satisfies us with good things so that our strength, our youth is renewed. He blesses us. So these are the things, and of course there are so many more that we could consider, but these are just some of the things David highlights when he says, don't forget all of these benefits. But he tells us that these benefits come to us from the Lord. Now, we know that, but let me just remind you real quickly of who we're talking about here. We're talking about the Lord, Yahweh. We're talking about the God who has been fully revealed to us by Jesus the Son as the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And listen to what David tells us about this God, that he is merciful and gracious, he is slow to anger, and he is plenteous, or he is abounding in mercy, or you could translate that word steadfast love. This is the God that has blessed us. He's a God who is merciful and gracious. He's slow to anger. His heart toward us is the heart of a compassionate father. And again, David spells that out in verses 13 and 14. He says, like as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities them that fear him. I love that picture. That's one of the reasons why I so much like this psalm. I love that picture. And I can relate to that picture from the standpoint of being a father and knowing my own heart for my kids and grandkids, and then thinking that my love for them pales in comparison to God's love for us. Jesus said, you remember, he said, if you who are evil by nature. If you who are sinners, you know how to give good things to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good things to those who ask him? He's making that comparison. He's a compassionate God. You see, the whole point is, he is a God who just, if we even took away, say, you know, the good things that were referred to here, if we even maybe took away the aspect of the blessing of health, you know, because obviously not everybody has an abundance of material things, not everybody has perfect health, but even if we took those things away, he's still a God who's worthy of being blessed just simply because of who he is. He's that compassionate Father. Cheryl reminded me, she was here first service, and she reminded me of my compassion for our kids. And she caught something yesterday that I didn't think she saw, and I sort of denied it just jokingly, but she was right. Yesterday, my son came over, and he wanted to use our bikes to ride down to the beach, and you know, fine. So I helped him get all of that together. But there I was, you know, trying to pretend like I wasn't concerned. Now, this kid is 20 years old, okay? So and he's going on a bike ride at 20. But here I am. Now, okay, have you been that way before? Now, are you sure you know that? Now when you get down, how you get, you know? And she was right. In my heart, I'm like, oh, I hope he doesn't crash. You know, I hope he doesn't get hurt. He's 20 years old. He's going on a bike ride. You know, what's the matter with me? I don't know. It's just that, you know, I'm chalking it up to a compassionate father. It might be a neurotic father, but I will think of it as compassionate. But, you know, the thought is just like, oh, you know, and I was thinking of him as still being a little boy. That was the last time we rode on the bike trail together. I think he was probably 10. But, you know, there's just that heart that you have. You see those little ones that you love, and maybe they're sick, or maybe they're going through some difficulty, and, oh, your heart just goes out. Well, that's just a dim reflection of God's heart. That's his heart toward us. And so we're reminded of that. He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. God knows what we can handle. God's not the one who wants to place a big burden on us that's going to crush us. Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I read that this past week, and although I've read it numerous times and taught on it and written about it and all of these other things, you know how it sometimes will happen where the scriptures will just sort of hit you in a fresh way. I was reading there, you know, Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, you're burdened down. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek. I'm gentle in heart. And I'm reading that thinking, wow, this is God. God's saying, I'm meek and gentle in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. But then that, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And the thing that really struck me as I read it, I thought, wow, you know, as preachers, we have to be really careful not to misrepresent God. Not to be representing God as harsh and upset and vindictive and ready to pour out wrath. Not to be representing God as placing burdens on people that are going to crush them. Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Why? Because God knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. This is the God that we are being called to bless. And so how then should we respond? Well, David said it in the first verse. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. To quote Spurgeon again, he said this. He said, many are our faculties, emotions, and capacities, but God has given them all to us, and they ought all to join in chorus to his praise. Half-hearted, ill-conceived, unintelligent praises are not such as we should render to our loving Lord. If the law of justice demanded all our heart, soul, and mind for the Creator, much more may the law of gratitude put in a comprehensive claim for the homage of our whole being to the God of grace. It is not too much to say that because of who God is and all that He's done, we should just worship Him with everything that's in us. How do we do that? Well, we do it by arousing our souls, reflecting on, not forgetting those benefits. Sometimes just sitting down, and even maybe just alone, sometimes just sitting down and just going over the blessings of God and just saying, Lord, thank you. Thank you that you forgave my sins. I need to do that at times. I need to remember where I came from. Remember the life that the Lord saved me from, how He redeemed my life from destruction, and just go over and just say, thank you, thank you, thank you. To do that. And of course, when we come together collectively and we have these opportunities as a body of people together to lift our voices in praise to Him. But we're praising Him for these blessings, for His goodness. But, you know, to express ourselves, to just really have our hearts engaged in what we're doing. It's easy sometimes to just go through the motions, isn't it? I find myself sometimes, I know the words to most of these songs, you know, you're just singing along, and then, you know, 2 or 3 minutes into it, I realize I'm completely somewhere else in my head. I'm thinking about something totally unrelated to what I'm singing about. And I have to stop myself and say, wait a second. I'm here to worship the Lord. Forgive me, Lord. And for me personally, it helps me to sometimes just really, you know, lift my hands to the Lord and just lift my head and just focus, Lord, I'm looking to you right this moment. So thanking Him, praising Him, and then finally honoring Him with obedience. This is a very important thing. We honor the Lord best by obeying Him. If I'm, you know, just giving lip service, oh Lord, I thank you, oh Lord, I praise you, oh Lord, I honor you, but in the end, I don't obey Him, then that's not genuine. That's not real. It's not acceptable praise. That's not a true blessing of the Lord, as David is calling us to do. There needs to be that obedience that makes our honor legitimate that we give to the Lord. And so in closing, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. If you feel dull-hearted, if you feel sometimes like you're spiritually lethargic, don't be afraid to just exhort yourself. To just say, self, bless the Lord. You need to bless the Lord because He's good and His benefits are innumerable. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your rich, rich blessings, your great love. Lord, that you are the God who overflows in mercy toward us. Lord, we are truly thankful. Lord, forgive us for the times that we are so dull spiritually. Our hearts are hard. We enjoy so many blessings spiritually and materially, and we don't even pause to say thank you. Forgive us, Lord, for our ingratitude. And Lord, would you help us? Thank you that you promise to help us, to guide our hearts into the love of God. Lord, would you guide our hearts into a greater manifestation, Lord, of love for you through praise, through worship, through adoration. Help us, Lord, to truly bless you as you deserve. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's stand together. Perhaps you need some prayer this morning. Maybe even just, you know, maybe you would say, you know, my heart's been kind of hard and I've been spiritually dull and I need to repent, or I need a refreshing from the Spirit. These men up here would love to pray with you for that. Maybe you've got an issue where you need healing, you need a touch from the Lord, whatever the case might be. They're available to pray with you this morning and would love to do so. May God be with us and may He just work this in our hearts, that we would truly be a people who praise Him, who have a habit of blessing Him as we go through our lives daily. And I think it would be appropriate to end the service this morning by singing together the doxology as we there would just praise Him together. So let's do that. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, you.